In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Holy Spirit, take control of what we're going to be saying today and what we're going to be hearing today. Let the Word of God just pierce our hearts. You know, one day Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, we left everything to follow you. We left mothers and fathers and lands and homes and money to follow you. Like, what are we going to get back?" And Jesus said, in this world, more mothers, not fathers, because there's only one Father in heaven. More mothers, more lands, more money, and persecution beside. This is what the Lord promises the disciple, that we will be persecuted. He does not promise us that we would be healed or sick, but that we would be persecuted because we love the name of Jesus. And what we're going to look at today is Paul being persecuted by Jews, by Gentiles, by all the people. And yet he stood firm because of his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Have you had an encounter with Jesus? Maybe not as physical as Paul and as spiritual as Paul, but have you had an encounter with Jesus? It's all about encountering Jesus. That's what faith is about, encountering Jesus. I remember when I was a child, and I remember that one Lent I was having doubts about the Lord. And I remember very, very vividly that on the Saturday of Easter Vigil, that those doubts were literally removed from my heart. And I knew that Jesus had been raised from the dead. But you know what? I promised God I would never doubt him again. And you know what? I was lying. But anyway, the Lord came to me in 1968, and I'll never be the same. He baptized me in the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know there was a baptism in the Holy Spirit, but he did it for me, and I experienced the power and the presence of God. Have I experienced persecution? Yes, I have. I've experienced persecution. Do I like it? No, I don't. I don't like persecution, but I know that that has been promised us by the Lord. We're looking at the 21st chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and the scripture says, "And when 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were in Asia, when they saw Paul in the temple, stirred up the people and laid hands on him, crying out, 'Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people and the law and the temple. And he further brought Greeks into the temple and hath polluted the holy place.'" Now, he didn't do that. "For they had seen before him in the city of Trophimus an Ephesian whom they supposed that Paul brought into the temple." He didn't. This is a trumped-up charge. "And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings or news came from the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left, beating of Paul." Beating Paul, imagine. He's being beaten for his faith. He's being beaten for his faith. "Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded that he was and what he had done." You see, this is the promise of Jesus, that there'd be persecution. Chains were put on Paul's body. I'm telling you that this is real. We see in the Middle East people dying for Jesus Christ. They will not give their life to Mohammed. They are dying for Jesus Christ. And I say, have we been praying for them? They are our brothers and sisters who die for Jesus Christ, and they will not give up their faith in Jesus. They say, we love Jesus, and they have died, and they continue to die at the hands of many Muslims that are fanatical. And I'm telling you, this is real. Have we prayed for our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted? Do we even raise our hearts and voices up for them, because they are being persecuted and killed for the name of Jesus Christ? Some cried one thing, and others cried another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty of the tumult, he commanded Paul to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with Paul! Away with him! Away with him!" They want to kill him. They want him dead. They want him dead. They've raised up Trump excuses that he's worthy of death. And we continue, verse 37. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto you?" Who said, "Can you speak Greek? Are you that Egyptian which before these days made an uproar and led out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" But Paul said, "I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. I beseech thee, let me speak to the people." Paul was a Roman citizen. They had no right to strike him. They had no right to put him in chains. They had no right. And you know, you're going to hear Paul tell people, "I am a Roman citizen." And not only was he a Roman citizen, he was born a Roman citizen. And they had no right to do this to a Roman citizen. "May I speak with the people?" And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with his hands unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spoke unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear my defense which I make now unto you." Chapter 22. And when they heard that he spoke in Hebrew to them, they kept silence, because they understood him. "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, and brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel." Let me tell you, Gamaliel was one of the great teachers of the time. Paul was instructed by Gamaliel, one of the great teachers of the time. It was Gamaliel who said to the people, "If this is of God, this movement of the way of Jesus, we would be fighting against God. But if it's not of God, it's going to peter out." It was Gamaliel who was the seed of wisdom that day. And we see, "I was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. I was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, building, binding, and delivering into prisons both men and women." Yes, we saw that in Acts 9, that he was about to bind into prison people that were of the way, people that loved Jesus. "It's also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters from the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them where they were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished." So Paul talks about his persecution of the Christians, that he persecuted the Christians, and he wanted to put them in jail. He killed Stephen because he delayed Stephen's clothes at a man named Saul. So Paul tells them, I was no Christian. I was a Jew. And I just defeated the Christians. I wanted nothing to do with Christians. Why? Because the scripture says, cursed is the man who dies upon a tree. And Jesus died on a cross, on a tree. And how could he be the Messiah, Paul thought, if he is a curse? Well, Paul will tell us in the second letter to the Corinthians, he became a curse, Jesus, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, yes, Paul tells of his conversion. And it came to pass that as I made my journey to arrest Christians, I was come nigh unto Damascus. It was about noon, and suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. This changed his entire life. He encountered the Lord Jesus Christ in a miraculous way, and it changed his entire life. I tell you, when we encounter Jesus, we get changed. I could never deny what God has done to me in 1968, the last Sunday of August. I can never deny that. I might fall away, but I'm telling you, I cannot deny what God did for me. He changed my life. He baptized me in the Holy Spirit before I even knew there was a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, my life was completely changed. I could never, ever tell you that it wasn't. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. And this is interesting. Saul could have said, I've never laid eyes upon you, Jesus. I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting Christians. But you see, Paul will have his whole experience of the body of Christ just by this experience. Because to persecute Christians is to persecute the Lord. To persecute those who follow Jesus, to persecute the Lord. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and they were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him that spoke to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, go to Damascus, and there it shall be told unto thee all the things that are appointed for you to do. And when I could not see, he was blind. And what blinded him? The glory of God. For the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews who dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up upon him. But we remember Ananias saying, Lord, I don't want to go see this man. Why? He's been killing Christians. He's been putting Christians in jail. I don't want to go see this man. And Jesus said to him, Ananias, this man will become a great and awesome apostle, and he will preach to the nations, and he must suffer much for the name of Jesus Christ. Well, Ananias goes, and he goes to pray with Paul, and we see, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one, that's Jesus, and should hear the voice of his mouth. For you shall be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why do you tarry here? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, I'm telling you, Ananias told him his vocation. You're going to go preaching to people, to the nations, to the Jews, to the Gentiles. And Ananias said, now is time to wash away your sins. How did he wash away his sins? Through the sacrament of baptism. Oh, I know people say that baptism is just an identification with Jesus. It's more than that. It washes away our sins. That's what the Word of God says. It says in the chapter 22, verse 16, now, why do you tarry here? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of Jesus, calling on the name of the Lord. To be baptized means to have your sins washed away. Yes. And given the Holy Spirit at baptism, you become a temple of the most blessed Trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That happens at baptism. And baptism is not only an identification with Jesus, it is a washing away of original sin. That's what baptism is. And people say, why do you baptize children? That's not God's way. And I'm telling you, it is God's way. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. In the early church, when they baptized people, babies, they knew that these babies would be witnesses for Jesus, because their parents would be martyrs, many of them. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That they would be martyrs. Oh, but you know what? People talk about martyrdom, but we have more martyrdom in these days today than they had in the early church. All across the world, people dying for the sake of Jesus Christ. There is a book called Jesus People. You read that book. Try to get it. It's got two or three copies, different people being persecuted and dying for the sake of Jesus. It's called Jesus People. And they're all religions, Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox. And it came to pass that when I was coming into Jerusalem, even while I was praying in the temple, I was in a trance, and I saw him saying unto me, make haste and get quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed in Jesus, in you. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death. And I kept the raiment, his clothes, from the people who slew him. And he said unto me, leave, depart, for I will send thee far hence to the Gentiles. Not only is he the apostle to the Gentiles, but the point of the matter is salvation is to Jew first and then to the Gentiles. He would always go first to the temples, or I should say to the synagogues, and he would proclaim the word of God. They would want to throw him out, but he did it anyway, because salvation is to the Jew first and then to the Greek, then to the pagan. I want to say that We ride around and see Temple Shalom. There is only one temple, and it was in Jerusalem. Every other Jewish place of worship is a synagogue. It is not a temple. The temple was in Jerusalem. It was destroyed. Some people believe it's going to be rebuilt, and that Jesus Christ is going to do it himself. I don't know if the temple is going to be rebuilt. I just know that there was one temple, and the temple is not Temple Shalom. That's Synagogue Shalom. The temple was in Jerusalem. And in the year 70, it was destroyed. Remember what Jesus said about the temple and its destruction. Not a stone upon a stone. Why? Because they failed to realize the visitation of God in Christ Jesus. So let's continue. And they gave him audience unto the word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. They want to kill Paul. They just want to kill him for his testimony to Jesus. They want to kill him. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, that's because they thought he was blaspheming. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried against him. They have no right to scourge Paul. Why? He's a Roman citizen. They don't know this yet. They have no right to scourge Paul because he's a Roman citizen. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" My Lord. They don't know this. Now they do. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what you do, for this man is a Roman citizen." Then the chief captain came and said unto Paul, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" He said, "Yes, I am." And the chief captain answered, "With the great sum of money I obtained this freedom." And Paul said, "I was born free." Oh, yes. He became a Roman citizen at his birth. "I was born free." Then straightway they departed from him, which should also examine him. And the chief captain was also afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman citizen, and because he had bound him. The next day, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, they loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all the council to appear. They brought Paul down and set him before them. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by to smite him on the mouth. Then Paul said unto him, "God shall smite thee, you whitewashed tomb, who sit thou to judge me after the law and command me to be smitten contrary to the law because I'm a Roman citizen." And they that stood by said, "Revile thou God's high priest? Are you talking boldly to God's high priest?" Then Paul said, "Brethren, I did not know he was the high priest. For it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of the ruler of thy people.'" And when Paul perceived that one part of the people were Sadducees and the other part was Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope of resurrection of the dead, I'm called into a question." So what's going to happen? Paul's not stupid. He's going to get the Pharisees against the Sadducees because Pharisees believe in a resurrection and in spirits, and the Sadducees don't. So he's going to step aside and watch them fight with each other. That's Paul. He was not only holy. He used his head. He knows that some were Pharisees and some were Sadducees. He proclaims himself to be a Pharisee, and he knows that there's going to be trouble between the two groups of people. And when he had said so, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. You see, Paul did that on purpose. Paul did that on purpose. In other words, to get all the attention off of him and all the attention on each other. Pharisee against Sadducee, Sadducee against Pharisee. Paul was bright. Paul was bright. He not only was holy, he was bright, and he used what God had given him. We'll stop there right now. And I want to tell you that I'm announcing, between July 19th and 25th, we're going to have the School of the Holy Spirit. Yes. So just separate those dates. July 19th through the 25th, the School of the Holy Spirit. And you're welcome to come. This will be a week of intense teaching on the gift of God, the Holy Spirit. And, of course, we will exalt and magnify the name of Jesus, because the Spirit always glorifies Jesus. I always know who has the Spirit of God, because Jesus said, He, the Spirit of God, will glorify me and tell you of the things that I did. And I spoke, yes. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Lord, I ask you to raise up men and women that have the faith of Paul the Apostle. Raise them up so that people will come to know that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the Christ, the one that is anointed by the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.